Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Fuck Madagascar.
Santi, fuck.
God, I should have
fucking motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Footy Prime, the podcast, the foundational episode starring Jimmy B, Dan W, Ledoomsay, Craggery Fruroost, and Jimmy James Charmoon. It's been a long time since I left you, and I don't need to dispatch you. Aaliyah, rest in peace. Welcome to Footy Prime, the podcast. Let's get this party started.
Aaliyah's dead.
So is Elvis.
No, he's not.
No. Aaliyah's dead, though, really? Is she?
Yeah.
Like, is she?
19. Yeah.
Let's not rock the boat here.
I mean, I don't actually know who Aaliyah is.
Remember, like a plane crash or something, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty tragic.
Like Reba McEntire.
Jamie, that was great, by the way.
I think she's still alive.
Reba McEntire.
Didn't she die in a
helicopter? She was a treasure.
No, she's still on the Voice. My kids watch her all the time. The redhead.
Her band died though, didn't they? I think in a helicopter crash.
Wasn't that Buddy Holly?
Are you thinking of Big Bopper
with Ricky Valens too?
Yeah.
The music died, right?
That's Ricky Valenzuela.
The pitcher, the lefty.
He played in CONCACAF.
Yeah,
we are caffeinated this morning. Apparently, eh? I've noticed that when I talk, I always put my hands to my glasses. If you notice that? It's a kind of a crutch I do.
You do this as well.
Yes.
Do I? Yeah. My finger?
Yeah. Pinch your... No, the pinch other one.
You're like Carol Burnett.
Yep. Yeah.
No, you're
Carol Burnett making a thing to your mom.
When you're listening intently, you like kind of lean forward and you pinch either your scruff or just like a bit of your skin on your cheekbone.
Really?
That's a big zit.
That's amazing. Like, I mean, these crutches we all have, right? These tells. Terrible poker players. Like, Craig always gets me. We talk about it quite a bit, right? I've known Craig for so many years now and broadcasted with him so many years that I can tell when he wants to jump in. But when he doesn't jump in, despite giving me the tells, it throws everything off.
Don't do that.
Like that.
You just did a tell.
Or Jimmy's pregnant pauses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Whereas it's easy with you, Dubs, because I know you're always going to talk. You always have something to say.
It's true. You're not wrong.
Hey, Wonga, you made it. You made it through the colonoscopy.
So I have to tell you people, there's a lot of fads, but this colonoscopy is here. Colonoscopy? No.
Oh, my God.
It's here to stay.
Are you okay?
It went all the way up into my mouth and my brain.
He's not okay. I go to pick him up, right? So he drives himself there in the morning. I take an Uber out to pick him up and drive him home in his car. And The waiting room is full of people. They're all terrified. They're up next. And Wonger walks out and says, "Wow, this place is great. I feel amazing." I'm like, is this a rub and tug?
We can all envision that, can't we?
Yeah.
Right? Are you high still, Wonger?
Probably a little, but yeah. I mean, it needed to be said. All these terror faces filled with terror, things going up their bum. And oh, yeah. I enjoyed the whole process. Even the four liters of whatever that stuff is that forces you to have violent, violent diarrhea to clean you out it wasn't as bad as everyone said. It was kind of like, oh, that's okay.
Not so but, violent?
It was fully violent. It was like, it was foamy. It was like,
okay.
What the fuck? It was like you drank a bunch of like carbonated water, and that's exactly what came out on the other end.
Like so, that, JC, was, yes. Just like yeah. that. Have a sweet way, don't you? Like I say this much, though, about the people that work in these places, right? Usually the people at the front desk in particular, they should get medals, right? Because they deal with the most miserable people. And understandably so, right? Because people don't really want to go there. And often they go there and they're expecting bad news, right? So they got these long faces like, oh, Christ, the world's on their shoulders. I'm about to be told I'm going to die. And you have the receptionists who just have to do their job, right? I think
unless
they
I show
get
up.
A lot more credit.
If everyone shows up as happy right. as I was just like, yeah, let's get this over with. Like, yeah. This is exciting.
Yeah. Wonger, book one for next week.
Yeah, those people in the waiting room are scared, but they know they're going to get to the bottom of their health problems. Right?
Yes. How was the ride home? Were you able to sit down or did you lie down?
Look, my bum's been through a lot. It was, it had been padded. Everything was good.
Did you wear the diaper?
I should have.
Did they give you one?
No.
Did they give you one?
No, but I was telling Craig I was in a gown, and the gown had some, what I would say was some remnants, and I was sitting in the remnants, and I didn't know what those remnants were, whether it was lubrication or just remnants of the procedure. And okay. Right. So you're just kind of sitting there going, oh, this isn't comfortable. So I can't, after I had breakfast with Craig, I came home and showered and washed all my clothes just in case. So, yeah. So if anybody needs any tips about how to approach this, I'll walk you through it. I'll be putting up a bit of a social media post because everyone needs it. And I had a clean sheet, a full clean sheet.
That was except maybe your remnants. Best line on the dark yeah. web, Wonger.
Yep. First clean
your
sheet
first
ever.
Clean sheet.
Yeah.
It's the best thing about Wonger is his clean colon.
We're really happy that your colon's clean.
The doctor actually said your colon is pristine. And he said specifically your rectum. And I went, oh, that's amazing. That's what he said to me on the way out. Then he winked.
You guys high five.
Yeah. And he slipped you your number like that.
That's right. I don't know how to do this, but
Wonger's going to show up on some Asian porn site. So he has no idea what happened to him.
He had no idea. Pornhub. No idea. Go to the specialties on Pornhub. Right. Go to Asian, and then wait a minute.
Yeah,
I know him.
Asian takes 10.
Asian takes 10.
Look at the ass on this guy.
This is why you need Footy Prime merchandise. You could have been wearing some of this gear, you know, for your porn introduction.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a football podcast. Sometimes. So let's get to the football, shall we?
Yeah, life gets in the way.
It does. It does. Listen, three people on this podcast are members of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame. Can you guess who they are? No, nor can I. I had to research to find out. But this week they inducted more people into the Hall of Fame. Woo. Dwayne De Rosario and Robin Gale. I was sure that Dero was in there already, but he wasn't. So congratulations to both Dero and Robin Gale. Dero, 81 caps for his country, 22 goals, four-time Canadian Player of the Year. Robin Gale, 81 caps as well. Coincidence? I think not. Olympic bronze medal, three World Cup appearances, or in three World Cups. And of course, more recently, she's been crucial to John Herdman's staff, both for the women and the men, I think, actually, and now TFC Dubs. Okay, we'll get to Dero. Not too many people know that much about Robin Gale Dubs, but you do. You know her really well. Tell us about Robin Gale and why she's a wonderful candidate or nominee member. She's been nominated and she's inductee. Been inductee. That's the one I'm looking for. Inductee to the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame.
Well, I think it's important that players like Robin get recognized and get inducted into the Hall of Fame because she's a defender. So defenders, perhaps goalkeepers, but I think even defenders fly under the radar unfairly. Like they do a really important job. They toil often in the shadows because they don't get the adulation. They don't get the goals, the awards, the recognition, perhaps, but such a crucial part of the team and the team's success. And Robin, you know, as a player was quick, had pace, had a great right boot on her, could strike from distance, but could provide a great switch of play, from the fullback position. But more than her play on the pitch, because she was a tremendous player, she was just a tremendous teammate. She was just somebody that you wanted to hang out with. She was somebody who didn't mince words, would tell you the truth for good and bad, but was just always there for you. And so I'm not surprised in the least to see her be influential post-career. I mean, she's done it. I mean, probably more notoriety more recently because I think what she's doing with John's staff at TFC and actually Canada Soccer. I think Atiba had a couple of words for Dwayne, for Dero. Sounds weird to call him Dwayne. And, TFC, it was John Herdman in a meeting, that announced it. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's terrific because as he's announcing it, he's talking about Robin, you don't see her on camera. And then he says, and now she's being recognized and she's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And she gets up and she tries to leave the auditorium. Like she's highly, highly uncomfortable with attention on her. So I'm really pleased for her because it's so well deserved. And it's important, as I said, that these types of players, get inducted and get recognized because they're just as important and they're key components of teams winning medals as Robin did, won a bronze medal, and crucial in team building and parts of that roster for a long, long time. And I wasn't the only one who mentioned what a tremendous teammate she is and continues to be as a member of staff.
I find it interesting that you said that she wouldn't mince words with players, teammates in the room, yet she's such a big part of the psychology of John Herdman's coaching style. I don't know exactly what she does there because she, like you said, she's so far behind the scenes and so, you know, happy to be there to kind of live in the shadows, so to speak. Do you think she's direct in that role within TFC, within the national setup when she was there as well?
I think that you have to be, and in a way you earn your stripes, but you earn respect from the players when there's no BS, there's no bullshit. You tell it how it is. And there's a way of doing it. And Robin has this aspect kind of down to a T, really masterful, I think, in her delivery, where she's able to be direct and unflinching in delivering sort of hard truths. And an important information and being the messenger sometimes, but does it in a way where, you know, there's always the empathy and that balance, I think, is something that you have to strike as a member of staff. And especially with this current generation where I think that's lacking a little bit, that sometimes you just have to, you have to tell the truth, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, people try to go around it and you maybe don't get to the crux of the matter, but Robin always does. But it's the way that she does it, that the blow is somehow softened because there's such empathy and there's such warmth in her words, but also her persona. So it's very much about the words, how it's delivered, but it's the person also who's delivering it. And she has that down to a T, as I said.
Has she ever spoke to you like that? Was she the person who went, okay, Dubs, it's time to hang up the boots? So.
No, never anything like that. But some Robin was somebody who is kind of always there, like hanging out, always had a smile on her face. But then all of a sudden, just when there was that pause after somebody said something and you thought you were hilarious or you thought you were the big time Charlie or whatever it was, and you were riding high, and then she would just say something like one word or one sentence, one little phrase, and you just be brought back down to earth. And it was Robin, so you couldn't say anything. Like, not that she was never wrong, but just the way that she kind of, her timing was always impeccable. So you just, everybody always sat up and took notice, and she delivered those words, and she usually found a way to make it hit home.
She call you a dickhead?
Usually. What the fuck, Forrest?
Were you called a dickhead, Craig? Did someone call you a dickhead?
Oh, a few times.
Who was Robin Gale on the men's side? Was there one? In the room would have that word, that last word.
Doesn't sound like it. No. She sounds amazing.
She is.
Yeah. We had Jimmy.
Banter. Yeah, the men are banter, right? Just put yourself down even more. Do you see Richarlison was talking at the Brazil camp, how his life was saved by a psychiatrist and how he struggled so badly on the pitch and off the pitch. And this time around, Brazil's finally now brought in a team psychiatrist, and it says it's so key, and he feels obligated to let people know, you know, it's not a weakness. You should seek help if needed, which is great. But it just stunned me that Brazil, of all teams, only now bringing in a team psychiatrist. Did you guys have a team psychiatrist when you played in Canada? All joking aside, Jimmy?
In England, we did. In a couple of the clubs, we would have individuals that would come in. And look, for me, I think it's very, very important because, you know, it isn't for everybody. A lot of people don't like it. But if it can help one, two, three, five players or majority of the team, then it's beneficial. So I know when I was playing, I think it was at Forest, we used to have a psychiatrist come in, and he would sit down with a number of players, and it really, really helped them. I sat down with him a couple of times and had some good conversations, but you know, there was a few players throughout the season that continued that relationship, and it helped them. It helped them mentally big time. Because, you know, as footballers, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of players that, you know, do get abused by fans or by the media. They go into this little shell. They're in a little bit of a rut where maybe they're not playing. They're stuck in the reserves, can't get in the first team, and they've got nobody to talk to. And, you know, it was so important for the clubs that I was at to have these individuals come in and help certain players along the way.
I think they're good for everybody. I just think that you need to open up yourself, to open your mind up to the positives of it, and I think they're really helpful to everybody. I really think that everybody should talk to them.
Did you have one though at the national setup at that point? I mean, I think there are now, but when you guys played?
No,
we didn't know the national team.
Get on with it.
Yeah, old school, right?
we suck it up. But I think it's about, and this is maybe going to go off on a tangent a bit, but after my career, I taught yoga and mobility, and you're either one-on-one or you're with a small group or you're teaching a large group. And oftentimes it's not because people don't like the practice. I think it feels good, but you have to figure out how you mesh with the instructor, with the person who's leading. And so to come back to team psychologists, psychiatrists, mental performance coaches, however you want to define it, first of all, it's important to remove that stigma. I just think that even if you're not having a difficult time going through hardships, that everybody should be open to it and should have a go, because it can be helpful even if you don't think you need it. But for the national team, the first time that we had a team psychiatrist, we had to fill out a form on the bus on the way to a World Cup game in 99. And one of the questions was, do you feel full of pep? And I felt like balling up that piece of paper and throwing it at the team psychiatrist or psychologist who was sitting at the front of the bus. Like, I don't want to be doing this as part of my, like, you're invading my own bubble and my own preparation. And I didn't like that. And I was resentful of it. So I didn't embrace that experience. But as soon as we had the right person in who was able to find a collective approach where it was destigmatized, everybody was welcome. It was inclusive. But then there was also, okay, with Forrest, we need to have this approach. With Jimmy, we need to take this approach. Then it was an individual approach. You got the buy-in that way. Because then there was an understanding, and again, going back to that word, an empathy, and you began to understand the person's approach and why they were here and why they felt it was important. And then that was a cyclical thing. And then you got the buy-in from the players. And then the players start to value that as an aspect of their preparation and of their performance. So those were the more successful people that we had with the national team. And that's when you start to see the payoff. That's when you start to see culturally a little bit of a shift in the team where that is prioritized as much as nutrition and sleep and your recovery. And it becomes like a pillar and it's valued as a team. So that's where it's successful. And Sharms, to your initial point about Brazil, I am not surprised that they didn't have one because it's kind of old school, right? Like we're players, like we have the talent. Players or little kids play it on the street. It's just part of our culture. We don't need to add anything else in. And it's probably to their detriment, unfortunately.
I think, you know, going back to what you're saying there, Dubs, with these individuals and back then, you know, them coming in and talking and even handing out that paper is probably because they didn't really have too much experience in team sports as well.
Yep, for sure.
Right? Because it was unheard of. And I think now you'd find it'd be a completely different approach across the board because these individuals have so much experience now because it's welcomed now in professional sport and it's expected.
They're sports psychologists, yes. Not just psychologists.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be embedded almost, don't you, with the team to understand the individuals. Cause like I said, you can't, what works for Jimmy doesn't work for Craig.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Right. So it's fascinating. Have you seen, I saw yesterday, Chris Simon, the ex NHLer, died. Really tragic. And not much has been divulged about his death, but there was an article in The Guardian, in UK today about that death and his family talking about they know it was CTE. He had CTE. And of course they won't know until they do a post-mortem. But I haven't, and then forgive me if it's been mentioned in the Canadian media and the rights holders to NHL. Has anyone mentioned CTE? Have you seen this anywhere? It's like they're hiding from it. They're running for it because it doesn't paint the NHL in a good picture. It's just, it's such a fresh story. Maybe they have, in which case I apologize. But
you're talking about specifically the NHL not actually facing up to it? Yeah.
NHL and those that, you know, have the rights to the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go along with that. I think they're one of the major leagues that have not addressed it like other leagues have. I think that's just going by what other hockey players have talked about. I mean, it's still the only sport really that you can drop your gloves and actually have a fight. It's just so fucking stupid. And everybody that fights generally after the fact are like, they never like fighting.
No.
They just want to be in the NHL.
Yeah, that's a real common refrain, isn't it?
There hasn't been a reckoning, to your point, Sharms. There's hasn't been that reckoning like the NFL had.
It's just that there's a UK story about hockey that brought this up. And maybe it's going to come out today. Maybe it's elsewhere. I don't know. But I just say I found that really, because what I read yesterday, there was no mention of it across the Canadian media.
Did they go through a list of enforcers that have passed? It's kind of like WWE wrestlers. Like it's these people who are prone to this stuff, right?
I feel like I saw that. Sorry, Sharms, more on Twitter or on social media. There are people who are in media, perhaps who are employed by the rights holders, who have mentioned it and talked about enforcers. And I think, is it Dan Carcillo? I think he was talking about it as well. Who's a big advocate for players in the retirement and making sure that they get the proper insurance and coverage and support. But yeah, as an enforcer, I think, you know, like they're dying really, really early and, you know, are more susceptible to be developing, you know, neurological disease like Alzheimer's and dementia, but then also CTE. And it seems like the NHL is, they have their blinders on. They don't want to address it. They don't want to take responsibility for it. And it's time that there's a reckoning. because I think that the game shifted a little bit. But as long as fighting stays in the game, there are always going to be these players who their meal ticket to a pro contract or to an NHL team is mm-hmm. going to be reliant upon, you know, getting sent out because you need to protect a player on your team or you need to like match up with somebody on the yeah. opposition.
Luckily, you know, we don't need the enforcers like we used to.
Yeah, I don't think it's as the NHL. Yeah, at times is bad, but it, for me, it's the lower leagues. You know, when you're watching those documentaries yeah. about the East Coast League and that Quebec League, and then even in England, I remember used to go and watch the hockey games there, and yeah. it was a bloodbath every single match because it sells, and they loved it, and they loved the fighting, the fans did. So it was encouraged a hell of a lot more. But those lower leagues, oh, it is crazy.
I'll admit I love fighting in hockey to a certain point, but last night, Leaf game, Leafs Flyers, Ryan Reeves for, I forget the guy's name, the Neanderthal for the Flyers. There was no reason for it at all. They were talking before the game. It was caught on camera. Yeah, I'll go anytime you want to go. Completely fucking pointless. And Ryan Reeves actually leaves the Bucks halfway through. His eyes completely shut. He got clobbered. Yeah. Like, what is the point of that? I don't mind it when two guys go at it hard, you know, and they're pissed off and something's happened. There's a liberty taken. Okay, call me a Neanderthal. I actually enjoy that kind of fighting. But this staged bullshit heavyweight title is complete points. But this is a soccer podcast. We're being sidetracked. We're in a Hall of Fame conversation, which went from Robin Gale to psychology to hockey fights.
Amy was right, though.
At some point.
Amy was right, though, Sharms. She did say this is a bit of a tangent.
Yep. But it's fascinating stuff, though. Should we get D-Row now? Is it a good time for D-Row?
Yeah. Only if we call him Dwayne.
Okay, Dwayne, shall we make a real effort? So, Dwayne, there is.
Why don't we do it, Sharms? Why don't we do it after these messages from our sponsor?
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Thank you, sponsors. Dwayne. Congratulations, Dwayne. Dwayne De Rosario, you're part of the Hall of Fame. You are an alumni along with Craig Forrest and Jimmy Brennan from the men's side. Isn't that fun for you? It was actually a really cool video. You saw it.
Is he here? Is he backstage?
No, but we're going to work on getting Dwayne on the show, though. You know, I'm calling him Dwayne for Christ's sake. It does feel weird. We're going to get I forget that. His name's D-Ro, for God's sakes. We're going to try and get him on the show very shortly. Not today, though. But yeah, tell me, okay, Jimmy, Craig, you were teammates with him a little bit. Certainly Jimmy more so than Craig. Tell us about D-Ro, the teammate.
He was great. He was a young lad when he came in, part of the Gold Cup setup. I don't think he played in the Gold Cup at all, but part of that, but fit right in. I would say that he was really one of the first players that in the Canadian setup with flair, that was a skillful flair player that was exciting to watch, would take people on. I wouldn't say he was a great goal scorer. He was a scorer of great goals. Like, I mean, amazing goals in MLS. And Frank Yallop took him in first into MLS. He knew what he was able to do. He would line up really well with Landon Donovan. Remember that at San Jose, Pat Onstad in goal. They built up a really, really great side. And he went on and to be really a legend in Major League Soccer in the early stages of the league. And goal of the year a few times.
big part of Houston's win as well. So, yeah, he's been around. He's a winner. And MLS suited him, really did. And he took it by the horns and really dominated that league for a few years.
Yeah, he was – D-Row was a – he's a great guy. Great in the dressing room as well. You know, I played club football with him and then also international. You know, and I think it took a while for people to really kind of realize that the type of player that D-Row was. You know, in a structured formation, it was – I think he found it difficult that time because D-Row needed to be that freedom player. He needed to be able to roam and go express himself when he played. And I think that's why with Major League Soccer, it worked so well for him. It really did, where he was able to go shine. He was able to drift along in that pitch on the pitch and find these little pockets to go play and get at players in the final third. And I think Frank was probably the one that really got him going and saw that potential in him, more or less said, listen, you go do what you want out there. And, you know, D-Row didn't. He made a name for himself in Major League Soccer. What was it, four championships and scored a hell of a lot of goals. And, you know, when he came back to Toronto, it was great having him playing for TFC. And when I retired as well, he took over the armband. And, you know, he is a legend in Canadian soccer. He's a pioneer, and he's done an awful lot for this game in this country. So it's well-deserved, you know. And I think he'll continue to help grow this game in this country, which he has.
I am surprised he's not in already. I honestly thought he was as well. I mean, he's in the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, which he was put in a couple years ago or last year.
Okay. So he's in that. Yeah, he is really one of the great all-time MLS players, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got to be close to the Mount Rushmore of MLS players, what he did in that league championships, those goals, that goal he scored in the final. I mean, just a really good footballer. Do you think it was held against him that he never made it in Europe, though, on the grand scheme of things? You know, he went over there, of course, and there's great chapters actually in the book that our boy B wrote about D-Row, his biography, about the challenges he met in Germany in particular. Some of the racism he felt as well, and obviously being Canadian, that he came back in the end. But do you think he that is held against him in some quarters?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, the level is obviously different, and the challenges are different. But I think Major League Soccer has been a great home for a lot of people that have spent their entire careers in Major League Soccer, and it's been a place where they've really thrived, and he has. And I think that, like I said, the level of MLS really, really suited D-Row, really suited him. So he just always found his way back here.
Jimmy, as a teammate, did you enjoy the shake and bake?
No, it was shit. Let's be fair.
No.
No. It was unique.
But it was.
That's what you want, though.
Yeah, exactly. Leroy's thing. It was his thing.
Yeah.
Look, you were just happy he was banging in goals for us. So, yeah, you know, you score goals, you do whatever your little heart desires.
Yeah.
Were you guys around when he was workshopping it? Like before it was a shake and bake? Was it like a shimmy shake? And then it was like, okay, no, this is where it's going. It's going to be a shake and bake.
Yeah, Jimmy, what do you think about this move? Jimmy,
yeah, hey, guys, what do you think about this? We would have been like,
what do you think about this? No, he was great. D-Row was great in the dressing room as well. He had a good, really good sense of humor. He was always up for a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't take himself too seriously. And, you know, there was times where we used to take the piss out of him and we hammer him, and, you know, he took it so well. So he was a great teammate. That's for sure.
And he's a vegan, just like you, Dubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second vegan to make the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Right? I was trying everything to put meat in his food, but
you what a prick.
You're like my sisters. My sister Sarah, when I said I was gonna be a vegetarian when I was 15, I went to the bathroom and I came back and everyone's shoulders were shaking and I was like, what is happening? And she snuck a piece of bacon into my sandwich.
And you loved it.
It was like our dinner, our first dinner together, Dubs, as a crew. And Jimmy reaches over to get a dish of some sort, and he just pulls it over and it just drips meat juice all over the vegan entries. God, that made me laugh. You're like, Jimmy, what the fuck are you doing? That's just a little bit.
I thought that was Forrest with his Jim Curry.
Was it Forrest? Was it?
Yeah, it was me.
I was happy to throw Jimmy under the bus, but that was Forrest.
Yeah. How can you think a shrimp's an animal?
Oh, God. Cara Lang, also a vegan, Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame.
Okay, so
at least three of us, yeah.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Also, the first two female builders were in the Hall of Fame as well, in Christine O'Connor and Lita Sikorsky as well. So, are you happy now, Dubs?
Poor Dubs.
I know. I feel bad that we put all of women's opinions and comments.
Do you feel bad?
I do sometimes, yeah.
Do you?
You don't.
No, you don't at all.
It's great. It's great work, though. How do you feel about this, Dubs? Yeah. It's like Nero workshopping.
You're our token draw. Right?
It's true. Token, yep.
Yeah.
Why doesn't stop smiling all show? He's just happy. He's got a nice clean bum.
Such, you know what? You know what he said? He said, "I don't have to come back for another 10 years." That's how clean it was.
Wow,
and
how
healthy!
I don't think that's how screening works, though. Are you supposed to come back more regularly?
No screening.
No, not for that one.
No,
so there's no bullets.
No. Yeah, but I can also
in the back end.
Pardon me.
They catch you in 10 years on the back end.
If it runs in your family, they'd want to see you probably in 5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was this because of just because of your age, or they found something?
It was a few different things. Ontario has what they call the fit. And so basically you go to the bathroom, you have a little, they send you a envelope and you mail poop back to the government.
Like, we've all done that, right? But just this is actually for a proper reason.
That's right. And I've done that before, and I asked my doctor.
Got arrested for it once. But.
Well, I did it before it was even implemented. So
hey, Trudeau, open this, you prick.
When did they figure out you were sending Rottweiler shit?
They didn't. So that's why you had a colonoscopy.
That's right. That's right. So I had spoken to a specialist, and they just said, you know, that fit is great for 99% of the people, but if you want to make sure you're okay, have a colonoscopy. And I am a certain age. So I don't feel that certain age.
99% wasn't good enough for you. You wanted the colonoscopy.
Well, I'm a bit of a unicorn, Charm. So you never know what you're going to get with Wonger, especially when I refer to myself in the third person.
Yeah. It always means bad things are coming whenever Wonger refers to himself.
Come on, it's the other way around.
when the sunny shirt comes out.
What?
Bad things are coming when the sunny shirt gets revealed.
Oh, I thought you meant the lubricant from yesterday.
No,
bad things were coming out.
And let's pivot back to football. I see where this one's going. Do you guys remember when you were told or found out you were in the Hall of Fame? Because we saw, obviously, the videos they sent, which is great. Richard Scott, actually, friend of the show, is a big part of that, and the Hall of Fame, of course. So I don't think he was involved back when you guys were inducted. But do you remember when you were told and who told you?
Jimmy? Actually, for years, the CSA weren't involved at all. Me and Jerry emceed, I don't know how many years, probably 10 years of Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Then the CSA got involved and didn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I remember those. They're actually quite fun nights, weren't they? Good dinners. I remember you guys were great, actually. You're a great combo to you and Jerry.
It was fun to do. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Yeah.
I once, back to hockey, actually, you guys invited me up to hand out an award to Peter Zezel's mum. And I forget, it's a Brian Budd award. My boy, Brian Budd. There's an award handed out for people that have excelled in more than one sport. Because Budgie, of course, was great at everything, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And Peter Zezel, great soccer player. And, of course, NHLer for many, many years. And he died. So his mum posthumously accepted the award. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool.
He was a good guy. He had the biggest calves I've ever seen on a human being. You couldn't get around him. I could see why he was a good footballer. You lay the ball into him and nobody could budge the guy.
That's why he's great at face-offs, right? Couldn't shift him.
Bigger than Grealish or Shaqiri?
Oh, way bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shakira?
No.
Shakira.
She's got a very big stuff.
It's more the hips. They don't lie.
I've never seen casts on anybody like Peter Zeslow.
So do you remember when you were told you were in the Hall of Fame? Either any of you?
Yeah, I remember. I was driving the van, not by the river, down the highway with the twins, twins really young in the back. And it was Richard Scott. And it was Richard. I didn't have him in my phone. I was like, Toronto or Ottawa. I think it was Ottawa. It's like, I don't know who's calling me, but I picked it up and it was Richard. And he told me I was going to Hall of Fame. I was like, what?
And you're driving on the phone?
No. Like the... I was doing it properly, legally. Oh,
you pulled over.
Hands-free, you guys.
I got big news.
She pulls over, calls back. Says, hi, Richard. Sorry I missed your call. I pulled over now. It is safe to talk.
Correct.
How do you feel? Did you get all giggly?
No, I was stunned, to be honest. I wasn't thinking that it was ever a possibility.
Really? You must have thought it was a possibility. Come on.
Never occurred to me once that I would ever end up in the Hall of Fame. Honestly. Wow. So I was blown away. Yeah.
How long after your career ended did this happen?
2017. I was inducted. So yeah, it would have been earlier in that year because then Canada played Costa Rica at BMO, and then that's where they had kind of the ceremony. They did a little on field ceremony before that game.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's when you're playing, it's the last thing you're ever thinking about in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You think your career is going to go on forever. It just seems like it's going to keep ticking along and just seems like it's lasting forever. And then all of a sudden it's over.
Who told you, Craig? Who told you you were in the Hall of Fame?
I don't remember.
No. Jimmy, do you remember?
I don't remember because I went back to back because it was 2014. We won the Gold Cup. So we went in with the team of distinction for winning the Gold Cup. And then 2015, I went in as a player. And I can't remember.
A couple good years.
Who told me? Yeah.
I bet it was Richard. And if it was Richard, he'll let us know. And he's going to be really pissed off that he didn't remember.
And in 2015, our team in 98 that won CONCACAF went in as a team, but I wasn't able to go because the twins were really small. And I was like, I can't go to Toronto. I've got twins to nurse. I can't travel. So I didn't go. But and it wasn't even on my radar at that point. You would have thought like, oh, Hall of Fame and oh, maybe I'll get it. No, never occurred to me.
You know what? Dubs is a cartoon. Dubs is really a cartoon. You can see her walking around with two babies on her boobs. Just walking. I can't go to fucking Toronto.
Wearing a kit.
There's like a thought bubble of fuck this.
Did you double boob it?
Yes.
Really?
See?
You.
Needs must, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wondered if you do one at a time or whether get them done. Two at a time.
No, when I was in the hospital after I'd had the twins, JP had just started a new job and I was essentially by myself with twins and I had to sort it out. Newborn twins.
Good move. Well done. How you
good timing.
I don't know how you managed that, mate, but that was a good move.
He wanted to be there. He was there at the birth, but then he basically was starting a new job.
Sure. Way to go, JP.
So dehydrated after the feeding.
Yeah, tough time for you, Jimmy, was it? Yeah? Oh, the milk's not coming, Mr. Brenning. I'm sorry, I've got to tell you this. But by the way, can I mention that Wonga looks like the Virgin Mary today?
Yes! I was going to say that.
He looks like the Virgin Mary in like some pane glass window in some church somewhere.
Yeah. He is the Virgin Mary in some Asian porn site.
like the part in the Bible where the Virgin Mary gets her prostate milked. That part, yeah,
that one,
that's what he looks like. Yeah,
prostate milking.
For those just listening, which is everyone, Wonga is sitting in front of a round mirror, and the round mirror's got a frame to it, and it's like a halo, like one of those old school depictions of the Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, JP did a good job. So did Mary convincing Joseph that she was a virgin. Well done.
You never get away with it these days.
Yeah, would you? I have no idea how it happened.
No.
Immaculate Conception.
Yeah. Wasn't that Lynn Swan?
No, Franco Harris.
Franco Harris. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonger, do you have a beehive in your living room? Move your head.
What is that? What
it's
is
my lamp. Beehive? It's the lamp in the reflection in the mirror.
Thought you were making honey again.
This is fabulous podcast stuff. This is a right
great
now.
Podcast material. Yeah, yeah, it really is. Richie Larea out for 3 months, by the way.
Jesus.
Hamstring man. Surgery. That ain't good. Wow. Wow, that's a big loss for TFC on the left and right side. Depending.
Sorry,
on
can I ask? The only person I would ask is Dubs. Dubs, what would be hamstring surgery? Just on your kind of background in more of the medical space than these guys.
Well, I have no medical expertise. I'm not a doctor nor a physio.
No,
I
know but a lot your yoga and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I would guess perhaps it's to do with his hamstring tendon, and that's why he needs surgery versus a soft tissue tear, no matter what the degree is. That's a guess. I don't know, though.
Did that happen the first match? Is that when he went down? Like, everybody thought he was going to be coming off in the 60th minute, and maybe he kept rolling him a little bit too much?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know.
Well, Sean Johnson's though with a hamstring as well, and they've had other soft tissue injuries, and soft tissue injuries are a problem.
Yeah.
That's most of them are preventable.
They are.
So that's a big problem.
How are they preventable?
You just look at soft tissue injuries with the Toronto Raptors. There is none.
Yeah.
They're all impact or injuries that you can do nothing about, but there is no soft tissue injuries with the Toronto Raptors.
How are they preventable, Craig?
Well, it's pre-season. Preventable. It's like preventable to make sure you're doing things right, making sure the loads are right, making sure you're not overdoing it with players. What are they doing preseason-wise? How much have they participated in matches?
That's a big one in preseason as well. Mm-hmm. And then it's the activation before matches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing that right, and if you haven't built properly in preseason, that's when you get those niggles at the beginning of the season.
And hamstring injuries are the worst. Like once you get like a little twinge, a little micro tear, if it's not managed properly, you don't give the players enough recovery, then that just sticks with. It's like a groin injury. It's really hard to get rid of, and then it just gets worse.
Yeah,
it's really difficult to recover from.
You forget how much you use those muscles. Whether it's the thigh or the hamstring, getting in and out of your car, sitting down and getting up, absolutely everything that you do throughout the day, going up the stairs. So when you do get that little niggle, it's a pain in the ass because you continue using that muscle throughout the day.
Richie, of course, is renowned for being this incredible athlete who can jump on a plane, fly over and play two games in 4 days, no problem, generally speaking. But he also, of course, went over to Forest, didn't he, during the MLS offseason as well. Mid-season Forest as well. Didn't really have a camp. Obviously came from Vancouver. He had a weird, it was a weird off-season for him though, regarding MLS because of the time he spent back in England. So you wonder if that had an effect as well. Because he's not a guy that's injury prone by any stretch.
Yeah. No. He's having a surgery in England as well, I believe.
Is he really?
Yeah,
he
I think is. It's shoulders as well. I'm not sure he did might have done my groin, but he's a groin adductor specialist, so it all depends on where that hamstring injury is. You know, a lot of that will have to do with that, which we don't know.
Well, it is the international week. Everything's kind of gone quiet on the club scene. Canada, of course, big game coming up this weekend. We'll get to more of that on Friday's show. Did you guys ever consider not being like saying no to a call up? I know Ben White for England, for example, said, "Yeah, don't consider me for this window." Did you ever even consider saying, nah, not this time, Dubs?
One time, but that's because I was pregnant and the team was going to be playing a game down in Texas where it was going to be really hot. And I was concerned because there was very little guidance just about the heat and my body temperature and what that would mean. And I was coming off a miscarriage, and I was concerned in the early stages of pregnancy and what that would mean for me from a training perspective. And then it just so happened that I hurt my foot in training because I was still playing with the Laval Comets, and then that gave me an out. So I had like the thought that I might kind of decline, but the injury solved that for me. But never would even cross my mind to say no to an international or to a Canadian team call up. Never.
You thought about maybe declining after going through that. That's something. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, pretty, exactly.
Pretty good excuse, Dubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Jimmy, did you ever say no?
I did. I did once. It was Hardy. Still hasn't let me live it down. I was at TFC at the time. TFC wasn't going through a great period, as we know. And we had a lot of players that were injured, and a few went away on international duty. And they asked if I would stay, and I said, yes, I'll stay back. And I didn't end up going to the Gold Cup. And I kind of wish I did now. I wish I did go to the Gold Cup instead of staying with Toronto FC. But I did that for the club.
Did the club benefit, do you think?
No, but they needed players. They needed players.
That's got to suck, though, right? When you make that sacrifice, right, and you say, yeah, I'll stay with the club, and you still lose the games. that you would have missed anyway. That's not. That's
how did Canada do in the Gold Cup, Jimmy?
I think it was it 20. I think they did all right. No, they did okay.
Semi-finals, right? When Julian was on fire, right? Wasn't it that one? And then Mo signed him, thinking he was this attacking midfielder because of what he did for Canada and that Gold Cup. Yeah. And then when he arrived, he had to basically tell Mo. Oh, was it Mo? I think it was Mo. He goes, I'm not an attacking midfielder. I haven't played that position hardly at all in my career. And then people judged Julian at TFC on his attack when he was never that player.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, they thought he was going to fill the net.
Yeah. Like, did you watch him at Deportivo? He's a really, really good player, but he ain't attacking.
No.
Yeah. Did you ever play for Canada again, Jimmy?
What's that?
Did you ever play for Canada again?
No, I think that was it. That was my last one.
Well, that's a career regret there, Jimmy.
No, I did. I regretted it after.
I feel bad for you.
I would never do that again. I would tell every player, don't do it. Go play for your country.
Mm-hmm.
You try to help a club, and then in the end, you're like, why?
I shouldn't. You can see the pressure, though, right, on a footballer, especially as captain. I mean, you do feel obligated, right, to help out your club. Yeah. And it's also kind of an unfair – it happens all the time, but it's an unfair spot to put a player in, I think, from a club as well.
It is. And I think you forget sometimes too, because you kind of start, you have a relationship with a club, you build a little bit of trust, but then at the end of the day, you're just another player that comes in and leaves. So as a player, you don't need to show that loyalty. Go do what you want to do. Go play for your country. If the country calls, go play the international games. You can still have the respect for the club, absolutely, but you know, you don't owe the club anything. The club doesn't owe you anything.
Craig, did you ever say not this time around?
Well, back in the early days, I sort of did. I was under a lot of pressure from Ipswich. I hadn't been in the team for an awful long time, and it was going well. And John Duncan was the manager at the time, former Tottenham player and manager. He said, I have no problem with you going. I'm not going to stop you from going, except we have a backup goalkeeper. And if he goes in and does well, I'm not going to be able to drop him. So you have to know the situation that you're in. But at that time, there was no FIFA rule. So he said that if you decide to stay, I'll take the pressure off you and I'll just say that I won't let you go. But the decision is yours. Yeah. Tough decision. We were playing against Guatemala in a pre-World Cup round, home and away. Figured that we should be able to get through them. And it was probably the best chance in 1990 to qualify for the World Cup because '86, there was no Mexico to qualify either for that team. And there was no Mexico in 1990. They were suspended for playing overage players and I believe an under-17 World Cup qualifying tournament. So that was a really good opportunity for Canada. Anyway, we ended up losing 4-4 and on away goals, and Canada was out in 1990. So I never did play a World Cup qualifier in that round because of that reason.
Wow. So some coaches were renowned for it. Fergie was renowned for it, right? He would you know, invite a player into his room in National Call Up Week and we'll say, yeah, you've got a hamstring. You got a calf. And they had no say in the matter. Neil Webb told me that years ago. I think I told this before on the show. Yeah. How he was told, yeah, you got a calf injury, you're not playing. He's like, but it's England. So Webby went anyway to England camp. And then when he got back, he was just walking through the training ground and this pen came flying out of Fergie's office and hit him right in the chest. Like, what the fuck? No. Who you think you are? And yeah, just go. Said he almost lost his job there at United for saying no to the great Sir Alex.
I think a lot of the managers too were scared that you did go on international duty and got injured.
That was still a concern, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a risk for sure.
Well, Andy Robertson, right, at Liverpool. I mean, he did his shoulder playing for Scotland, missed half this season.
Well, that's it. Because the reason, part of the reason why you're getting a call-up is because you're in form in your club. So you're getting that call-up, and the manager's like, fuck, we need you. Okay, you go on international duty, and if you do get injured, then it's an issue for the team.
Is this done through agents now instead of, hey, no? It's all, you get a call from the National Federation, and then you go tell your manager?
No, they'll call the club.
Okay.
They'll call the club and say, listen, we want Amy Walsh, or we want Kirk Forrest for this next international window. And then the club, and then obviously the Canada would call us as players. So they'll call you and then they call the club.
Right. Well, Charm's little known facts are Alec Ferguson. Sorry, I'm getting the name, but he actually had a white van parked out, and that's where we'd have right outside his office on the outside, and that's where he'd have these discussions. So he'd make it even scarier for people.
Step inside to my little office here at the back with the lollipops and puppy dogs.
But speaking of agents, do you guys see that Mo Farsi said that he's not going to play for Canada, he's going to play for Algeria, and I'm sure a lot of thought went into that before he decided, but he said, Canada spoke to my agent and Algeria spoke to me personally.
So
I don't know how much that weighed on the right decision, way. But
yeah. Why would he talk to his agent?
I don't know.
What?
It's Mo Farsi is a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's fun to watch. Is he really going to be a difference maker though? At that level?
I mean, he could be still a really young man, right?
Yeah, he's young.
Still going to develop.
Well, you look at our national team, who's he getting in front of?
Yeah, exactly. But still, I mean, obviously you want to have the option at the very least, right? Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting.
Well, he still will if he doesn't play a competitive match. He can backtrack.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And there's one for the CSA. Next time you call up a player, call the player, please, not the agent.
Yeah. That's a good tip.
Second good tip one has had in a couple of days.
He's gonna sit on that one for a while.
We should probably call it a day. I wanted to get to actually, we'll do it maybe on Friday, how talking about schedules and fixtures and MLS. I understand why they don't shut down for these breaks, but there's so many good players not in MLS this weekend because of international call-ups. It's frustrating to say the very least. Anything else, Wongo, we should get to before we start pumping our sponsors?
No, we had just we have a lot going on this week. We have three questions, TFC, three questions, CF Montreal, three questions that Amy recorded yesterday, and Whitecaps, three questions, Whitecaps. I'm sure still. Which one are we doing, Sharms?
Whitecaps and TFC today. We're recording.
No,
today.
But what's the name? Yeah. What is the nomenclature for that?
No, so team name first. So TFC.
Team name first.
No, you're right.
No.
Oh, wait, hang on. No.
Team name first, right? And then three questions.
You're the one. Yeah, that's why.
Team name presents.
And then three questions. Okay, so CF Montreal, three questions. That Amy and Ollie had a really good take yesterday on the refereeing situation. And I'm sure that will hit all. I mean, I think we should try and get a referee from pro, so I'm going to do a little research today.
Well, they're not doing anything right now. They're available.
Yeah.
Sitting on their ass right now, waiting for the deal to be signed.
Yep.
What was I going to mention? Oh, we also box to box late this week as well. We're working on a guest. We're not quite sure who just yet, mm-hmm. But
there, speaking of boxes, Broadcast will be recording on Friday.
That's right, Friday. Yes.
Love she it. She gets to say that so easily, right?
Oh, yeah.
It just kills me. It kills me. Because it's great humor. It's what you say? What'd you say?
I said put it in the mixer.
Yeah. Is it three of you this time around? Is it Claire, Rian, and you?
Yes, and then waiting on confirmation for a guest, but we're going to talk about, because today is the second day of Women's Champions League quarterfinals, so we're going to chat that. We're going to chat the Olympic draw, which is today, Wednesday, and then we're also going to do a deep dive on NWSL.
All right.
Fantastic. You should be doing the show on a Tuesday.
Yeah, me too. I think much better.
Well, it doesn't always work out, Jimmy, for everybody's schedule. So if you want to manage that, then great.
I'm doing Taco Tuesdays.
Well done. Oh, well played.
Great setup.
You had her on the hook, Jimmy.
Well,
you
really did.
Isn't it usually fish Fridays?
Caught me a marlin.
I was going to say Flange Fridays.
Flange.
That's from The Inbetweeners, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Have you watched Inbetweeners yet, Dubs? Remember you asked you to watch? You have to watch it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Oh, my God. It's just so juvenile. It's just down your street. Yeah. Brilliant. It's brilliant. Okay, that's it. Our thanks to TonyBet.ca. We'll be putting our wagers on Friday. Now, Wonga, do we have a community bet we're considering right now?
We haven't yet, but I'll throw it up today. So we'll go through one. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Maybe we'll do one of these internationals. Yeah, well, no, that'll get a little too. But it is internet. What other big matches are for international?
What can we do Canada Trinidad?
Because it'll be like 95%.
We don't know that. I'm curious. I'm just curious, actually, what the general public's opinion on that match is.
Yeah. England, Brazil? England,
that would
Belgium?
Be good. Yeah.
Friendlies are tough, though, right? Friendlies, who gives a shit?
Yeah. England does. Mm. Brazil does.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They play like 30 players in that game. Mm. Anyway, Mainu got called up, though. That's exciting. We'll get to that maybe on Friday. And, of course, FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Sign up, subscribe, and also subscribe to all our various channels. We did a great chat. Well, maybe it wasn't a great chat. It was a fun chat. Post Kevin Blue's press conference this past Monday. Was it Monday? Tuesday? Whenever it was. That you can find that on YouTube right now. That's about it, I think. So until next time, enjoy your week, everyone. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Is that Forrest's leg?
It's his leg, isn't it? It's definitely his leg. Yeah.
What? Your right leg is...
Oh. You got Jimmy leg.
Jimmy leg.
Jimmy
on. Forrest got a Jimmy leg.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.